Merry Christmas. Just want to say that. Merry Christmas. Listen, nobody said it back. I didn't hear that. Merry Christmas. Oh, that's a little better. I see how you are. We're going to be all right. It's amazing to me how hard ungodly people have tried to take Christ out of Christmas, to turn Christmas into some kind of a generic holiday, just to commercialize it sometimes to the point that it's just a big sales event, you know? I mean, a lot of merchants, they're counting on the Christmas season to determine whether or not they are a success this year. But we need to know that it's much more than that to us. It's interesting to me that this celebration of the coming of our Lord and Savior to the planet, it is the biggest event of the year, every year. People spend weeks and months getting ready for it, not to mention all the money they spend, even though they don't really believe in the true meaning of Christmas. It is about God coming to earth. He came as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I believe there are some truths that need to be declared, not only to a lost world, but to those who call themselves Christians and claim to believe in the Lord Jesus. I tell you, there are some things that people need to know. In this religious culture that we live in, people seem to be so confused about some things. Even believers need to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus was God in the flesh. They need to know. Listen, believer, child of God, you need to know this so deep down, so confidently in your soul that you are ready to tell the world. I think it's important for believers to know what they believe and why they believe it. I heard a story about one guy. They said, what do you, somebody asked him, what do you believe? He says, well, I believe what my church believes. They said, well, what does your church believe? Well, same thing I do. And that's about the extent of some people's confidence in what they believe. They're not really sure why they believe what they believe. And you know, God gave us a free will. You can believe anything you want to. You cannot believe whatever you don't want to. But here's the thing, we have the Word of God. These things were written that we might believe, John says. And so this morning, we need to allow the Word of God to speak to us, to bring faith in our heart that we are confident of the truths of the Word of God. Amen. Barna's survey in 2020 says that 44% of Americans agree that when He, Jesus, lived on earth, He was fully divine and fully human, and therefore committed sins just like the rest of us. Less people, 41%, believe that He was fully divine and fully human and lived a sinless life. I just have to tell you this morning, if Jesus didn't live a sinless life, then He couldn't pay the price for our sins. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20 tells us that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, God had always had this plan. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't some random thing that happened along the way. No, the birth of our Lord was prophesied in the Word of God in the book of Isaiah 700 years before it happened. It is one of the most amazing proofs of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the virgin birth, of the sinless life that He lived. I want to read to you from Isaiah 7 and 14. Here's part of that prophecy. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now, Matthew 1 and 23 tells us that Emmanuel means God with us. You need to realize this, that when Jesus was born, that God was with us. That God had come to earth, that He had stepped into time to rescue us. But it says very clearly in this prophecy that a virgin will be with child. More prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I just want to repeat this again. A child is born. A son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This child who is to be born will be called the Mighty God. Amen. Now think about this. See, a lot of believers don't really get this. Jesus was fully God. Yes, he was in a human body. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. How can the Son be the Father? Because as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Amen. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Who's this talking about? This child born of a virgin. That's who we're talking about. This morning, I'm going to read a little of the story of the birth of Jesus from Luke's gospel. I just want to tell you as a side note, my family and I, we read the entirety of Luke's account of the birth of Christ every year before we open presents. It is just a way for us to reflect and remember the greatest gift of all, that God loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son. And however you do that in your family and in your home, just make sure that you always acknowledge that this is what Christmas is about. It is all about him. And we give because he gave. It's not a commercialized thing to us. No, it is all about celebrating our Savior. I'm going to read just 7 verses this morning, beginning from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He came in the most humble way, and yet it was supernatural, an awesome thing that God had come in a human body to live and to die for the sin of all men. The angels declared to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And certainly we're not declaring that there was going to be no conflict and no war. There was conflict and war then, and there ever has been since. But they were declaring peace between God and man. That because God had come to earth, had stepped into time to rescue us, to save us, that there could be peace between God and man. They were not declaring goodwill as some show during the Christmas season. They show goodwill to others. They were declaring God's goodwill toward man. That in coming to this earth to rescue us, it was the greatest goodwill that's ever been done. It was God showing that he wants to do good to us. Amen. He came as God in the flesh to save us. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life as a man so that he could die for the sin of man. And that's why it's so important that we believe in the virgin birth. He was not just a man. He was the Son of God. He is God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And if you can't believe in the virgin birth, there's no way you can believe that he lived a sinless life. He would have been born a sinner. But without that sinless life, then there's no sacrifice for our sins, and we're all still dead in our sins. If you really believe the scripture, then you have to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. In this mixed up religious world, every Christian needs to know John 1:1 and John 1:14. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You need to understand this. You need to know this, that the scripture proclaims that the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." The Word of God that was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You need to know that Jesus absolutely was God. There are a lot of people who are so mixed up, even believers who are so mixed up, they're not really sure about this. You gotta know that God came to earth in a human body to rescue us Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm telling you, the Word of God will judge everyone. Those who refuse to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, are not really even saved. Because until we come to the place where we understand who Jesus was. You see, John 3:16, that most famous verse. "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And you know, a lot of people derive from that, and they kind of paraphrase out of it. They'll just say, "Well, all you got to do is believe in Jesus." I want to tell you, the demons believe in Jesus. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus, even to believe that He died and rose from the dead. You got to believe that He was the only begotten of the Father. That He's different from the rest of us. He is the Son of God, the begotten of the Father. He was not born with a sin nature. He was born as God in the flesh. The only begotten. See, it's right there in John 3:16. Whoever believes in Him. The only begotten of the Father. He came to earth to rescue us. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Such a powerful passage speaking about the Lord Jesus. Beginning from verse 13, it tells us that the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The image of the invisible God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He was a visible image of the invisible God. Amazing. Verse 16, "For by Him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." See, not just the things that we see, but even the invisible things, principalities and powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him, all things consist. Still talking about Jesus. He's before all things. And in Him, all things consist. I'm just going to stop right here just for a minute. Start reading your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, it's time to start reading your Bible. There is so much deception in this world, this religious culture we live in. If you don't read your Bible, you will be deceived. You need to stay in the Word of God until these passages and these things are just a part of you. That your faith is solid. That you've been immunized from the garbage of this world, the lies, the deception of false religion. Because just because it says Jesus on it doesn't mean that it's real. There are a lot of people speaking a lot of things that are not from the Bible and are not sound doctrine, and it will mess you up. You need to read your Bible. You need to know what the Bible says. As I'm reading this passage, I realize that some of the things that I'm reading right here are so foreign to a lot of believers today. You got quiet in here for a second. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of what? Chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, not just a little bit, not just sort of, kind of, all the fullness of God dwells in that human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And there's that peace between God and man again. Verse 21, and you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. See, here's good news. No matter how far we've been away from God, no matter how alienated we might feel, you see, oh, how sin and shame and guilt can make you feel so far from God. You pray and you feel like the heavens are brass, like no one's hearing. I want to tell you something. No matter what terrible things you've done, he has made the way for you to be reconciled, for that relationship to be restored between you and himself. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. This is amazing. You see, the world, even the religious world, would laugh and say, holy? You're not holy. I tell you, our Savior made us holy and blameless, above reproach in his sight. Now, other people might see you differently, but in his sight, we're above reproach. Why? How is this possible? Because of the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Yes. Born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life and died on the cross for us. And the heavenly host announced peace and goodwill toward men. This is the greatest goodwill that could ever be done, is that our Savior came to rescue us. To have goodwill toward another is to be predisposed to do good to them. You need to know this morning that our Father proved that when Jesus came. You need to know that this was the greatest act of goodwill that could ever be done. And you need to know that your Father's disposition towards you is to do you good. That he wants to do good to you. Satan so often tries to deceive people, tries to impugn the character of God and get people to think that God is out to get them. I've got news for you this morning. If God was out to get you, you would have been got. It is but for his mercies that we are not consumed. It is the goodness of God upon us every day. And you see, when we understand what he's already done for us, then we'll be able to believe for the goodness of God every day in our life. He is good. His will for you is good. His coming proves goodwill toward us. His intention is to do you good. So many people in this world, they just don't understand it. They think that somehow that God is against them. You know what? I feel like a lot of times that somebody is against me. Paranoid, right? I feel like sometimes that, you know, I just got this battle and that battle and this struggle and that one, and, you know, deal with one, get through one, and here comes three more. You know, Murphy's laws instead of God's laws, and just, somebody's against me. But here's what I know. It's not God. That's He's for me, and he does good to me. No, I have an adversary. His name is the devil. The Bible says we have an adversary, the devil. And when life is hard and when everything seems to be a battle, you need to realize you have an adversary. And he is always working against us. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, the Bible says. You need to know that Jesus is for you and that God's will for you is good. It's amazing how people get so deceived that they begin to blame God for the works of Satan and the evil things that Satan and men do. We need to renew our minds with this truth that his will is good will. Romans 12:2 tells us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, there's two things that happen when you renew your mind with the Word of God. Number one, you'll no longer be conformed to this world. As long as you think like the world, you end up acting like the world. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you're listening to the ungodly counsel of the world, you're listening to all of the religious garbage of this world, it's going to mess you up. But you renew your mind with the Word of God and you no longer walk according to the pattern of this world. But there's another thing that happens. You get to where you know, you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, a lot of people don't have a clue about the will of God. But I can tell you this, it's good, it's acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God. You need to know that. Everything that you see in this world, it is not the will of God. And it is certainly not the perfect will of God. The will of God is not automatic. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. We got to pray that into earth. But just get a picture of heaven, what it's like. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, you see some things about heaven. Let me tell you what you don't see in heaven. There's no sin. There's no evil. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no heartache or sorrow. There's no tears. I'm telling you, that's what heaven's like. There you see a picture of the perfect will of God. This stuff that you see in this world that is so terrible, such heartache and destruction. It is the work of Satan and the sin of man. You know, if you look at the Garden of Eden before the fall, God said it was very good. After Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came with sickness and toil and death. Was that God's perfect will? No. It was the sin of man and the work of Satan. Part of Satan's deception to Adam and Eve, to Eve especially, was that somehow God was holding out on them. If you eat of the fruit, then you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And I want to tell you that he still to this day uses this deception all the time, that people think that somehow God is holding out on them. Somehow it's God that has caused this trouble in their life. That somehow they can blame God for all of the problems in this world. And they question the character of God and blame him for the works of Satan. I'm telling you, we need to know that our Father is good. He's always good. And he is predisposed to do us good. And when you pray, you need to begin to believe that God wants to do good things in your life. Oh, yes, you have an adversary, but it is not your heavenly Father. He's for you. Jesus showed us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus showed us that God is good. and the will of God is good. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's doing the will of God. That's doing the work of God. Jesus always did the will of God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." When the blind called out to him for mercy, he healed them. When the leper came to him and he said, "If you will, you can heal me," Jesus said, "I will." And when some parents with a demon-possessed child came and said, "If you can help us," any parents ever pray that prayer? "If you can help us, if you can help us." And he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." You see, we got to believe in the goodness of God. We got to believe that he wants to help.